The scripture reading for today is found in Colossians. We're going to be reading from Colossians. We're going to start a little bit earlier than the number I gave you. We're going to start at chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, and then we're going to read through to almost the end of chapter 3. We're actually going to close with verse 17 of chapter 3. So it's going to be kind of long, but you really need to understand we need to hear the context of this. You know, you hear the pastor always say that context is so important, so we're going to be taking the context into account. But before we hear the word of God, let's come before him and ask for his illumination as we hear his word. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would still our hearts, that you would calm our minds, that we would have that peace that you can only give, a peace that passes all understanding. As we hear your word and as we ponder its message and meaning, we ask, O Lord, that you would bless us. We acknowledge that this word, the word of Scripture, is not like any word written by man. This is the very word of God. This is your truth, the eternal truth. And when your word is spoken, you have promised to bless it, O Lord. You have promised to grant your people understanding. You have promised to edify and build us up. And Father, we know that this is the work of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit to bless us, that you would open our eyes, that you would unstop our ears. Father, we thank you, in fact, that the Holy Spirit even now dwells within us. And so, Father, we pray that we would hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit and obey, that we would listen and obey. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So beginning at chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teaching. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, free, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving or with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here we have Paul laying out the program of life, how the Christian is to live, how he or she is to conduct themselves, not only in the church, but in the world at large. We are not to be afraid of the world and all that it throws at us. We are to be, in a way, like a prize fighter who gets into the ring confident that he is going to succeed. But we're not a prize fighter in the way that the earth sees prize fighters. The earthly prize fighter depends on himself. He rests on his own abilities, on his own strength, and his own acumen, his own training, on his own skills, on his own experience. But we are prize fighters not like that. We're not trusting in our own strength, on our own skills. We're not trusting in our earthly nature. We are prize fighters who are trusting in the life that Jesus Christ himself has granted us, a life that even now is in us and being manifest. A life that comes because we have been united with Christ. We have union with Christ. We who have been effectually called by Christ have been drawn to him irresistibly. We have been brought into his body, so to speak. We have been given a new nature. No longer are we sinners inclined to sin. We are now saints. We are no longer subject to the fallen flesh in the same way that we were before. We may fall into sin, but that's not our nature anymore. And Paul says that. He puts a very fine point on it because he says to each one of us, he says, put to death the old man. Put him to death. Well, how can we do that? Isn't that being legalistic when he commands us in that way? Isn't that just a form of legalism? Do it. You heard me. Do it. Be good. Be sinless. Be righteous. But that's not what Paul is saying, not at all. And if we came away from hearing this passage and that's what we thought, oh, Paul is being legalistic, then we would have missed the point of Colossians. We would also have missed the point of Ephesians, which is the mirror image of Colossians, but only in expanded form. Because Colossians and Ephesians are letters that are devoted to teaching the church about sanctification. Sanctification is the being made holy by God through His Spirit. As God's grace works more and more within us, we are more and more being sanctified. We can honestly say, or we ought to be able to honestly say, I have been transformed. I am no longer the man or the woman I was a year ago, that God has been working on me. Slowly but surely, step by step, sometimes we run into snags, but God is transforming me by His grace. And we should also be able to say, as a church, as the body of Christ, the corporate gathering of the people, we should be able to say as a church, we are growing in grace. We have matured as a congregation. The church has matured as well to the praise and to the glory of God. And Paul lays this out, the program for sanctification. He lays out how we are to live our lives. And it's important, this is why I went back to the beginning, or earlier, because Paul begins with foundational truth. He doesn't start by saying, be good, because that would be legalism. And Paul is anything but a legalist. If anyone knew legalism, it was Paul. He says himself that he was the top-notch Pharisee. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law better than anybody else. He followed the law as best he could, like no one else. He was righteous beyond his years, righteous according to worldly standards, according to religious, man-made religious standards. So Paul understood legalism, and that's why Paul does not begin with the law and with sanctification. He begins with Christ and what Christ has done. He begins with the new life that is in Christ. And he begins by saying, you have been transformed by grace. You have been justified. And that's why he's able then to turn and talk about sanctification. You've been justified. And now that you have been justified, continue to walk. And that's why he begins with, you have been rooted in Christ and built up in Christ, and now continue that work. And he begins to unfold the program of sanctification. And he concludes with these words, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. And the challenging question this morning is, are you doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ? Are you doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ? Am I doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ? Are you doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ? When Paul says, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, he means all things without exception. All things without exception. Sometimes you can say something like, you can use all, not in all things without exception, but you can use it sort of like locally. You can say, are we all here? doesn't mean is everyone in the world here, or maybe even is everyone in the church here, but is everybody who is here, are we all here? So it's sort of a conditional all. But when Paul talks here about everything, it's not a conditional everything. He is talking about everything without exception. Let your mind entertain that notion for a moment. Paul says, do everything in the name of the Lord, whatever you do. So again, I'll ask, have you subjected all of your life in its totality without exception? Have you dedicated it all? Have you subjected it all to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is there a corner of your world that you have left unsubjected to Jesus Christ? Is there a portion of your life that is beyond, or that you think is beyond, the domain of Jesus Christ? Do you have dark corners of your world? Do you have little loopholes that you let yourself off the hook because of? This is one area I'm not going to subject to the will of Jesus Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, if there is a dark corner of your world, if there is an area of your life that is unsubjected to the will of Christ, that you think you can sort of like squirrel away something, a secret sin, then this passage lets you know that you cannot do that. You cannot fool. You can fool other human beings. You can fool elders. You can fool deacons. You can even fool your spouse at times. But you can never fool God. And we'll get into that a little more, in a little bit more detail in this evening service. But we need to remember that the God that we serve, the God that who has saved us, is the God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is infinite in his knowledge of you and I. In fact, he is so infinite and knows us in such an incredible way that he actually knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every thought that we think. He knows every action that we take. Every word that we have spoken, he knows. And the time will come when the world will be judged. And the people of this world who are not in Jesus Christ will come before his throne and give an account of their life. And it's going to be like no court case that you've ever seen in anywhere in this world at any time. Even the greatest lawyer cannot uncover all the secrets of a man's heart. There are areas that are left undone, untouched in a court case. We would hope that the truth would be revealed perfectly and completely. But man is a being who is extremely adept at subterfuge and is able to obfuscate and hide and conceal and do a shell game with his thoughts and his feelings and his emotions and his desires. And he can elude detection by human beings who scrutinize the heart. You know, and the court case is one place where all of that is to be laid bare. But even the greatest lawyer cannot lay the human heart bare completely and absolutely. But God can. And God does. And God will. Now, there are no secrets with God. He knows all. He sees all. And we hear extraordinary tales sometimes of ministers who comported themselves so well and knew what to say and what to do and how to act in public. And then something, for some reason, it all blows up. And a life of scandals suddenly unveiled. And we see that this man was nothing like he was supposed to be. There was a Scottish preacher, a renowned preacher up in the highlands of Scotland. published all kinds of books, went to all kinds of conferences, spoke all over the world, was renowned by many, many people, revered in his community. And he had a secret life of subterfuge and deceit, even from his wife. It all came unspooled and unraveled. It was all exposed. He'd been having affairs with different women in his congregation for years. And it was all exposed. So human beings have a wonderful way of concealing things, but not from God. Now, that is an extreme example. That is an extreme example. But what about our private life? The secret thoughts of our hearts, the desires that we have. Do we allow ourselves to entertain thoughts and desires that we know are wrong, that God would never permit to be acted upon? You know, the books that we read, the TV shows that we watch, the channels on YouTube or TikTok or wherever that we go to, the things that we glance at, maybe sideways but longingly. We need to really examine our hearts. And the Word of God, this might seem like I'm making a fine point on this, but really no, because this whole passage that we read out on sanctification, that's what he's saying. That's what Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, put to death all that is fleshly and worldly, all that is of this earth that is fallen. Put it to death and live for Christ. Mortify the flesh. Don't let it have a foothold in your life. Don't think that you are the guy or the girl that's going to outwit the flesh. Others may fall into sin, but you are going to succeed where others failed. It's impossible, because who you are resisting is not a mere human being. You can game other people. You can game your employer or your partner or your spouse, I mean business partner, or your spouse, but no one at no time and nowhere in the world can or will or has gamed God. He cannot be fooled. And all through Scripture, that is so clearly revealed. Your peace of mind depends on it. God will not let us rest if we have secret sins. God will not let us rest. He'll keep us up at night. He will tweak our conscience. We will be plagued with what we have done or undone, what we have said or not said, what we have entertained in the secret recesses of our hearts. God will not let us rest, because He is gracious and kind. And He will not let us be satisfied with the flesh and what is perishing, because we are people that must be rooted firmly in the eternal and what cannot perish, in Jesus Christ. And God is weaning us away from this world and all that it craves. So, how are our thoughts? How are our words? How are our deeds? We need to remind ourselves again and again, in the pages of Scripture and as we pray, that we are in Jesus Christ. That the battle that we fight as prize fighters against sin, the battle that we fight, we do not fight alone. We have brothers and sisters in this church and in other churches and churches around the world that we can reach out to for support, for encouragement. If we say we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wrong. It does the soul good to confess. It does the soul good to work alongside other Christians in that great enterprise of sanctification, which is a lifelong work. Your job, Christian, is to be sanctified. Your job throughout this life, as long as you live, is to kill the sin within you. That is your job. That is the task that God has set before you. And until you breathe your last, it is a job that you must take up. The tools of the trade in this great work of mortification and sanctification is the Holy Spirit, who illuminates our minds and gives us the strength to persevere. Another tool is the Word of God that sets forth the truth and the principles by which we are to live. The tool is also, in a mysterious way, the ordinances of the church, the proclamation of the Word, prayer, communion, baptism. When we come to the communion table, we are feeding on Christ really and supernaturally, or supernaturally rather, not really. We're not Catholics. That Christ ministers to us through these ordinances when we gather as saints at prayer. Do you not feel strengthened after praying with brothers and sisters? In a mysterious way, God is building you up. Why would we set aside that tool if it's a tool that God has purposed for our building up? God has given these tools so that we can persevere in that great work of sanctification and mortification of the flesh. And so I would encourage you, as Paul does, to persevere in this great work, knowing that he is faithful and just, that he will cause us who are in Christ to cross the finish line. There are a lot of times in our lives where we think, will I ever make it? All the things that the mistakes that I make, the challenges that I face, the stumblings that I do, I say things, I do things that I know are wrong, and I insult people, and I say words that hurt them. There's other things that I know I should be doing, the good that I should do, that God has purposed me to do, and I leave it aside. I know I should do it, but I'm not interested. I know there are words, the kind words, building up words that I should say to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers. But it's been a hot day. It's been a long day. I'm just going to say whatever is on my mind. And you beat yourself up because you're failing at times. That's why God gives us the Word, to remind us that the race hasn't been finished yet. You haven't finished the finish line yet. As long as you have breath in you, brothers and sisters, prevail, persevere, because Christ is the one who is sustaining you. He is the good shepherd that has gone before you. He's blazed the trail which you now follow. So don't give up, but look to Christ and continue to trust in him. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we respond to your word and explanation with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving. For we know, O Lord, that your word is true and that it is trustworthy, that you have promised to build a nation for yourself, a nation of priests, a royal priesthood, O Lord. That you have promised to sustain us by your Spirit. And as we read your word and as we apply it to our hearts, we are encouraged, O Lord, because we know that you indeed are good, infinite, eternally, and unchangeably good. And you have promised to save a people, and your promise cannot change, because your promise is built on your very nature. And you are unchangeable. And so, Father, we trust in you and the work that you are doing within us. We ask, O Lord, that you would grant us more grace when we need it. Father, we ask that you would forgive us when we stumble and fall and doubt your goodness and your promises. We ask, O Lord, that you would pick us up, O Lord, and cause us to continue. Continue in this walk. Continue in this work. Continue in fighting sin, for we do not do it alone, but we do it on the great foundation of Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen. The song of response.